You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to free us from our own expectations and give us new expectations. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, happy Father's Day. Father's Day is something that kind of comes along with some expectations, though, right? There's expectations that come along with Father's Day. In fact, when you go to the grocery store or wherever it is that you buy the Hallmark things, you go, and at least half of the cards that are there for Father's Day, they say something like, "You're a great dad," or "You're a super dad," or there's some other adjective that they use before dad. And as you start to kind of like hear that, and as you're thinking about, you know, who you're buying this card for, you start to wonder, am I buying this really for a super dad? Well, what does it mean for that person to be a super dad? What does it mean to be a good dad? What does it mean to be a great dad? Or should you just kind of go with a little bit more generic card? Thank you for being a dad. You know, what does Father's Day really mean? It means that there's some expectations. And those expectations, I mean, they're different probably for every family. The expectations are different probably for every child. Expectations are different all over the place. But there are expectations that we have of our fathers. And largely, those expectations are ones that are worked out in conversation with our fathers. So as we're growing up, we learn who our Father is, and as we learn who our Father is, we know that we can trust those things out of our Father. And so then, because of that, we can kind of expect certain things out of our fathers. And so some fathers are great in some ways that other fathers are not so great at. Other fathers are great in other ways that completely blow out the other kind of fathers. And so you have this kind of ongoing question on a day like Father's Day about expectations, about what our expectations of fathers are. And today, we get to talk about expectations in terms of what we're given in the lectionary series. Now, today is not only Father's Day, it's not only even the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, which I know is more important to all of you, and it's also another day that's pretty big for at least some of you probably in this room, and it is a day that you know that a little bit later on today, you are going to be logging on to Max. And you are going to be seeing the next installment of the second season of House of the Dragon. House of the Dragon is the kind of continuing prequel to the Game of Thrones series. And there's some expectations there. There's some expectations, at least from the people at Max, who are hoping that this brings in some revenue. Because they have been selling out all of their intellectual property like somebody who can't pay their electric bill. I mean, all of this stuff that Max used to create, they're selling it out to all of the other streaming services, and they're hoping that House of the Dragon is actually going to like shore them up a little bit. And so there's an expectation there. There's an expectation out of the fans who are hoping that this kind of goes in line with the really boring book by George R.R. Martin that this was based on. It's like a history book. It's really super boring. And they're hoping that it kind of fits with that. Well, House of the Dragon actually kind of brings us into a little bit of the readings in an odd sort of way, because we start off with this reading from Ezekiel where you have just been totally robbed. I mean, like, let's be honest. We jump into that Ezekiel reading and you're like, oh, well, this is interesting. God is taking a branch and he's putting it on top of a mountain and it's growing. And well, that's an interesting picture. But we have no idea what that picture is really all about, except for the fact that we know that there are birds that live in this new tree. And when Jesus gets around to talking about it, you know, thousands of years later, we know that he talks about that mustard seed who also gets birds. And that's about all of the connection that we have really with this Old Testament reading. But there's so much more in this Old Testament reading. So this Old Testament reading is actually about a guy named Zedekiah. Say it with me, Zedekiah. Very good. Now, that's not his real name. That's his fake name. That is the fake name that was given to him by the king of Babylon who put him into his throne. So he's on, well, not exactly the iron throne, but he's on the throne of Judah. And he is there because the king of Babylon, who is this sort of warlord who's taking over the known world, he sets him up as the king of Judah as kind of this puppet king. And so you get that kind of slimy feeling about Zedekiah, that he's already somebody who a bigger king says, oh, you know what? You'll make a good lapdog. Boop, you're in the throne. And so Zedekiah, you already get, he's kind of this sleazeball figure. And as a sleazeball figure, he does kind of sleazeball things. I mean, that's what you expect out of him, right? So he's kind of sleazy. He's been put into this position in a sleazy way. And now he's kind of on his own. And since he's on his own, he's been set there by the Babylonians. And God has told him, and God has told his prophets, well, what's going to happen is that Zedekiah is just going to roll over for the Babylonians because they're going to come in because I am going to be punishing my people for their sins. Because all of the kings in Judah up until this point, well, they've been getting kind of progressively worse. And they've been worshiping false idols. They've been doing all sorts of bad things. And Zedekiah is no different. He's somebody who is going to continue those things on. And so God has said to Zedekiah, God has said to his prophets that, well, what's going to happen is that you're going to have to give up your land to the Babylonians. They're going to come in. And Zedekiah, being a sleazeball, knows that that is not something that is going to do well in the polls. And so Zedekiah starts to look around for other options. And he sees another option. The other option is that there is this army from Egypt that is marching up towards Israel. And they are the biggest contenders against the kingdom of Babylon. And Zedekiah says, ooh, if I make an alliance with these Egyptians, then I will be able to save Judah. I will be able to save Jerusalem, and everybody will think well of me. And so that's what I'm going to do. Meanwhile, God has told him just a little bit earlier in Ezekiel 17, what we just read from, he's saying, don't. Don't do that. That's not my will. That's not what I want. I actually do want to discipline my people, and so I don't want you to do that. He tells him very clearly, I don't want you to do that. And yet, Zedekiah, being who Zedekiah is, says, oh, no, no, no. I'm going to do things my way, God. Thank you very much. And so he goes and he attempts to have this treaty with the Egyptians. And what happens is that the Babylonians get wind of this and the Babylonians hear about it. And they're like, oh, that's cute. And they come down and they destroy Jerusalem. They take Zedekiah. And this is where it gets very House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones is. They take his two sons, kill his two sons in front of him. And just after they kill his two sons in front of him, so that that can be the last thing on his mind that he's ever seen, they gouge out his eyes. Really beautiful story. And you're maybe going like, well, that's a great story, Pastor Jay, but what about the twig? So the twig comes in as God is reassuring his people that what he is doing is that he has the ability to bring down the powers that be. He has the ability to bring down the things that everybody expects. So Zedekiah expected Egypt to be able to save him. God says, that's not going to happen. Zedekiah did not expect Babylon to come in and to take over the city. And God said, well, that is going to happen. And God is saying, look, the things that you expect may not come true because your expectations might be a little bit warped. And because your expectations might be a little bit warped, you might not understand what I am doing. And that's the case in our lives so often, is that we have these expectations that are built up inside of us. We have these expectations about what life is going to be like. We have these expectations about what fatherhood is going to be like. We have these expectations about what having a father is going to be like. We have these expectations of all sorts of different things. I just got done with yet another week of tabling at orientation. And it's so great being there, tabling at orientation, and seeing the expectation in people's minds and hearts as they come forward and they have all of these expectations about what it's going to be to be a student at Florida State. And some of those expectations are going to work, and some of those expectations are not. Because sometimes our expectations are off. And sometimes that means that, well, we look at God and we start to go, well, my expectation about what my life is going to be like, it kind of, well, this isn't what I expected, God. And God comes back at us and he's going, well, that's maybe because your expectations were wrong. You know, the thing is that all of us who are people of God, and even people that are outside of the people of God, all of us are theologians. The difference is that just some of us are heretics. And so some of our understandings about who God is and what he's doing in our life, well, they're just plain wrong. And so we need to come back to God and we need to ask God, okay, well, what is it that you want to do? What is it that you have in mind? What is the deal with my life? And as you come to him, you maybe get to that sort of second question of, okay, well, this is what I expect out of God. And then you get to the second question that is even more of a gut punch, because then you go, well, what does God expect me to be? And as you ask that question, you start to feel like, oh, kind of slimy inside, sort of like Zedekiah. And you start to go, oh, God probably expects a lot more out of me than what I am able to offer. And we get to this gospel reading, and this gospel reading, you hear this great stuff about Jesus, and he's like, hey, this is how the kingdom of God works. We're going to throw a seed into the ground and it's going to pop up and it's going to be a mustard seed. It's going to be super tiny and then it's going to grow up and birds are going to live inside of the mustard tree. And that's going to be awesome. And you can kind of figure out the metaphor there and you can go, oh, well, I feel more like mustard seed than mustard plant right now, Jesus. My expectations of myself are pretty low. I kind of feel like maybe there's something else that needs to happen here. Because we hear what Jesus is saying about the kingdom of God, and it seems to all be kind of, well, kind of natural, kind of easy, kind of, you know, you throw a seed in the ground, it pops up, ta-da! And we would like that to be our expectation of what the Christian life is. You know, you throw in some baptism, you throw in some God's word, you throw in some communion, some forgiveness, and then ta-da! You have this great life. And yet all of us know that we're still kind of in this moment of struggle. And we start to go, well, God, I'm not turning out to be that great of a mustard seed. My expectations are kind of like doing me in here, God. And so maybe to that, we need to like to bring things back to the reading, and we need to bring things back to how we're understanding this parable. Because so often, we like to see ourselves as the protagonist in the story. We like to see ourselves as the main person in the story because that's who we are in our own stories. We are the person who is in charge. We are the person who is making decisions. We are the person who the stories are all about. But what if this particular story, what if you're willing to sort of think that maybe, well, this story isn't about you? Maybe you're not the mustard seed, at least directly. But what if there was another person? What if there was another person who everybody didn't expect anything much out of? What if that other person who nobody expected much out of happened to be a kid that everybody thought was born out of wedlock? In this sort of backwater town named Bethlehem, moved to another backwater town called Nazareth, where nobody could believe that you were actually serious about religion if you grew up there. What if that was the sort of small mustard seed, and yet this mustard seed, well, what if this mustard seed grew into something that was a pretty big deal? And what if that mustard seed actually grew up into being this rabbi who taught people about life, who taught people about the word of God? What if this mustard seed ended up turning into a mustard plant? And what if that mustard plant actually ended up spreading out his arms on a cross? And underneath his branches, people were able to live. People were able to find life. People were able to find things like forgiveness and peace and joy. Well, then, maybe the expectations work out. Because if we expect Jesus to be the center of our story, if we expect Jesus to be that mustard seed who grows into a mustard plant, then maybe we're putting our expectations on somebody who can blow them away. On somebody who can reshape our expectations so that they're no longer expectations of ourselves, but they're expectations of the things that he has promised us. That he's promised us forgiveness, that he's promised us peace, that he's promised us joy, that he's promised us all sorts of great things. And that his greatest promise has yet to be realized, but we know that it's coming. That promise of his resurrection is going to be there. Where we all gather like birds in a mustard tree. Underneath his branches. That have forgiven our sins. That's an expectation that we can have faith in. It's an expectation that will bring us the good things in life. It's an expectation that is ours until that moment that he returns. So may you walk out of this sanctuary into the world knowing that you have expectations of yourself, knowing that other people have expectations of you, and feeling the weight of all of that. In the midst of that weight, may you know that there is someone on whom you can hang your expectations, who won't buckle under them. And his name is Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.